Geshe-la says, similarly, there is no I. But due to ignorance, through perceiving any of the five aggregates of body and mind, we grasp at I. For those who are not realizing emptiness correctly, this thought grasping at I is necessarily self-grasping ignorance. And it's only through studying and understanding the way things exist can we understand. Otherwise, it's impossible. If you can think about this for a long time, or maybe just for instantly, I don't know, you'll understand the truth of this. He says, there is no valid reason for developing the thought I through perceiving any of the five aggregates, because in reality, there is no I within the five aggregates. Think about that. There's no I within the five aggregates. There's no person within the five aggregates. There is no there's no person within the individual five aggregates or the collection of the five aggregates. There's no I. And if we take all those aggregates away, other than the five aggregates, there's no I. It's perfect. We can't find an I. If we search amongst the body and mind, we can't find one. And yet, all the time we're thinking, well, maybe me, isn't it? And we do the same with everything else, every other object. We give it a name and we think that this thing somehow exists within the parts. A chair has sort of inherent chairness about it. Somewhere within that sort of collection of parts of a chair, there's a chair. Wrong. Just a name. Anyway, come back to Mirror of Dharma. He says, through this, we can understand how we are identifying ourselves mistakenly all the time. A bit more deeply. He says, for example, suppose a practitioner called John, or you can say Mary or anybody else, through perceiving his body or mind, which are his basis of imputation, spontaneously thinks, I am John. Okay? Because his basis of imputation, that's his body and his mind, are contaminated by the inner poison of delusions, his recognition of himself as John will cause him to experience suffering continuously. Okay, so John, and me, and you, and everyone else that we know, we are observing our body and mind, which are contaminated. That is samsara. That is suffering. Well, when we observe our body and mind, we impute ourselves on it. We say, oh, that's me. Yeah? We look at suffering, basically. We look at this body and mind, which are the nature of suffering. We think, oh, that's me. So, of course, this is the cause of all our suffering. If we think we are suffering, we impute ourselves upon suffering, what do we expect? Samsara is the nature of suffering. So, here's the answer to this problem. If John does not wish to experience suffering, which of course John doesn't, and neither do you or me, he needs to change his basis of imputation from his contaminated body and mind to an uncontaminated body and mind, such as the body and mind of Haruka, Vajrayogini, or any other guru deity. Isn't it? So the body and mind of these enlightened beings, Haruka, Vajrayogini, any other guru deity, the body and mind of these persons, these beings, is completely pure. It's uncontaminated. There are no delusions. There's no possibility of them experiencing suffering as a result of imputing themselves on those aggregates of body and mind, enlightened body and mind, completely uncontaminated body and mind. There's no possibility of them suffering. Because what they're imputing themselves upon is purity, complete purity. Yeah? So this is a basis of imputation. I can impute myself on anything I like. Because of my ignorance, I'm imputing myself presently on my contaminated body and mind, which is where the root of all my suffering, this mistaken identification. Anyone who does not wish to experience suffering needs to change their basis of imputation. Okay, so all of us, none of us want to suffer. And Buddha is telling us, Venerable Geshe-la is telling us, the way to stop our suffering is to change our bases of imputation. In other words, what it is we are identifying ourselves as.